The last and longest piece on this program was recorded at Katie's 2002-2003 New Year's Mental Cleanse, an annual event that takes place each December in Southern California. A woman whose life has been enhanced by the work for several years saw that her brother Alan, a college professor, was struggling over his daughter's addiction to heroin. The whole family of 10, including Alan and his daughter, Yvette, came to the cleanse to see if doing the work with Katie could help them find understanding and peace. Katie moves back and forth between Alan's work on his daughter's addiction and Yvette's work on her father's need to control her life. With Katie's gentle guidance, these two amazing people show us how any family dealing with addiction can begin to establish trust, loving communication, and an understanding that we're each fully responsible for our own happiness.
Okay, hi. So here's how we do it. You read what you've written, and you take it in. Each time he reads something, take it in, and all of us take it in as though he were reading it. Take it in as though he were reading it to you, and see if you can find where he's right, because this is like private work. And if when you find where he's right, say thank you. And if you cannot find where he's right, say thank you. Okay? So you find it, experience it, thank you. You don't find it, thank you. Okay, so if you get in a position where you can look into his eyes, okay? And again, take it in as though he were reading it directly to you. Go in and find where he's right. And if you cannot find it, just experience the thank you. And if you can find it, experience the internal thank you. Okay, so let's begin.
I am confused by Yvette.
Okay, so now where you have, I'm confused by Yvette, direct it just directly to her. I'm confused by you, Yvette, because?
Yvette, I'm confused by you because you have such great potential, but you are a heroin addict. You recently graduated from college. You went downhill quickly. This is not supposed to happen in a family like ours. This shouldn't happen.
Okay, look into her eyes and just wait for her to take it in. And just take it in. See if you can find where he's right. But look into his eyes, Angel, and thank him for what you find or for his opinion, even though you haven't found it. Yeah.
I love you.
So hold her eyes and say that again.
I love you so much. I want you to become.
So just thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is called communication.
I want you to become an innocent little girl again.
So wait.
So I want you to contribute to the world, not drain the world's resources.
So let's slow it down. And Alan?
Yes.
Hold her eyes and tell her thank you. You know, receive her thank you. Wait for it. And I know this is tough. But just wait. Slow it down a little. Okay. So are you all taking it in for you? If you're listening, some of you may be getting by now that it's not about them, it's about you.
I want you to agree with my ideas about religion, but I know...
No, just stop there.
Thank you.
But I know that's not realistic. I know I shouldn't, and I'm battling with myself. I would like you to be more open to my advice.
So give her time.
Yes.
Yeah. So say it again.
I would like you to be more open to my advice.
Thank you.
I wish we could talk about important things without getting upset, without somebody running away.
Thank you.
Yvette, I wish that you were more concerned about finding out what's right than insisting on your right to do what you want.
Thank you.
I wish you could forgive all the people who have wronged you, including me, Yvette. I wish you could forgive, fully forgive me.
Thank you.
Yvette, I wish you could be liberated from this horrible addiction that is running your life.
Thank you.
How you doing, honey?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
What do I think of you, Yvette? I think you are beautiful.
Thank you.
That was easier. Yvette, I think that you have been hurt by many people, by many bad people. And sometimes I want to kill them. Yvette, you do not deserve the pain that you have suffered in your short life.
Are you waiting for her responses, honey?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just, it's an opportunity for her to receive you and for you to be heard.
Yes.
Thank you.
I know the light of God is in you, and that there are all these shrouds covering it up. You're trapped in a dangerous world.
Thank you.
I want you to be able to see how to get out of this world that you're in.
Thank you.
I don't ever want to make more mistakes as a parent.
Thank you.
And what I want is to know how to help you to fully escape. That's what I want. Yvette, that's what I want. I want you back. I want you...
Well, let's stick with that first one. I want to know how.
How? I want to know how to help you fully escape.
Thank you.
That's it. I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Okay. Thank you for your courage. Could you find some of those, sweetheart?
I could find a few of
them. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay, have you written one on your father?
I did.
Good.
Don't want to read that?
Yes. One at a time, looking into his eyes and waiting for him to receive it with his thank you. And Alan, go in. See if you can find where she's right. And just thank you. And if you cannot find it, thank you.
Okay. I am frustrated at you because you are so controlling of my life.
Thank you.
And because you tell me how that my life should be lived in a certain way and doesn't approve of my life if I don't live it that way.
Thank you.
I want my father, or I want you, Dad, to stop trying to make me feel incapable of running my life.
That's a big one.
That is huge.
So say it again, Angel.
I want you to stop trying to make me feel incapable of running my life.
Thank you for explaining that.
And I want you to take care of yourself and not anybody else or everybody else.
Thank you.
So say that one again and take it in at another level also. This is a wonderful opportunity. And I invite everyone to do that. We're talking about unconditional love, aren't we? Because we would say, my daughter on heroin is dead meat. That's the common story. And what we hear here, this would mean unconditional love, to hear this. So again, honey,
I want you to take care of yourself and not everybody else.
Thank you.
You should slow down and not always be so busy. You're always trying to fix everybody. I just want approval.
Thank you.
I need you to accept my beliefs and my relationships with other people close to me and the way I live without judging it or trying to fix it.
Thank you.
You know, what I'm getting is she's asking the same thing of you that you're asking of her. Read that one again, see if you can hear it.
I want you to accept my beliefs and my relationships with other people close to me and the way I live without judging it or trying to fix it.
Hmm. Maybe we can talk about that after.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a nice topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting topic.
You are controlling and too busy in your thoughts to see your children as they really are.
So hold his eyes, honey, and do it again. That's a courageous statement. You're amazing. You both are. And do it again and hold his eyes. Just face him head on.
You are too controlling and too busy in your thoughts to see their children as they really are.
Thank you.
I don't ever want to justify my life to you again, to feel like I have to do that again. I don't want to feel shame or wrong for the way I believe.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah. Funny what they learn from us. Yeah, these concepts. So now let's work it. Okay, let's hear what you've written again, the way you've written it, rather than directing it at your daughter. Let's just hear how you've written it.
I'm confused by Yvette. She has such great potential, yet she is a heroin addict.
She has great potential. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
I'm thoroughly convinced of it. Yes. Yes.
She might walk out the door and die. She has great potential. How do you treat her when you believe that?
I try to fix her so she can achieve that potential.
And if she achieves the potential that you are so sure that she has, what do you get?
I think there are a couple things going on. One is that I have this need to protect my little girl from the big bad world.
Okay. So she's living out the potential that you see. Okay. And she's living this very happy life according to you. And what does that give you?
I would be happy for her.
Happy. You'd be happy.
Yes.
You'd be happy for you.
Yes. You bet.
Yeah. When our daughter's happy, then we're happy.
Yes.
So who would you be without this story? She has great potential. When you think she's off doing heroin, who would you be without the story? She has great potential.
Without that story. So you're saying if I don't focus on her potential?
No, I'm just saying who would you be? Well, yeah. I mean, you said it, but I liked it. Who would you be when you looked at your daughter without the thought, and you had the thought she's doing, who would you be when you looked at your daughter without the thought she has such great potential?
Maybe I would see her more in the present than in the future. That's a scary thought. Because I've been seeing her in the future for
Dad,
so long.
Dad.
Yes. Yes, I've been living through her funeral.
Yes. And if she's dead, you're miserable.
You betcha.
Okay. So she has to live for you so that you're happy. I mean, skip the middleman, be happy.
Now, just a minute. You're saying
she has to not only live, but she has to live up to this potential you are so sure she's got. And I'm not saying you're wrong. And then you're happy. But here she is. Here she is. Here she is now.
Yes. I should be happy for every day she's alive.
Oh my God, look at her potential. Here it is. She's loving you now. She's, this is it. If she were some famous doctor, or psychologist, or wonderful mother, or whatever you think her potential is, she'd still be sitting here like this.
I've always thought of her as the first woman president of the United States.
Yeah. Not much to live up to. No.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Thank you for your integrity. You're a courageous man. Yeah.
I'm starting to see that that even if she is going to be president, I should focus on today.
Because if she's president, she's still going to be sitting with her daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to think she has more potential than that. She should be doing something with another country or something.
Yes, that's right.
She's not doing enough as president.
That's probably right.
And I would drop the probably.
Okay.
So, sweetheart, let's move back.
Yes.
Just for a moment.
Yes.
This is it. Look at her. She's not in a grave. She sits with you, and you have her in a grave. She's dead to you, and she feels that. She sees her father suffer, and she's taking care of her pain the best way she knows how, just like you're taking care of yours.
Maybe I should try to take it a day at a time.
What about a moment at a time, a thought at a time? And yeah, a day's good.
Should we try that?
Drop the we.
Should I try that? Okay.
So I'll now try. Ask you.
Should I? Yes, I should try.
Hear you.
I should try to enjoy the moment with Yvette.
A day at a time.
Yes.
Okay. So let's turn that around. She should live out her, what was it?
She has great potential.
Turn it around.
Turn it around.
I
have great potential.
Live it.
I do?
I don't know.
It hadn't occurred to me.
Maybe the potential you've got is to love your daughter without condition. Maybe that's your potential and you're not living it out. Each one of you go find your potential. What is it? For me, you know, it doesn't have to be president. Can I just be happy from where I sit now and be with my children and you? Mm-hmm. You know, the one in front of me, just now, the way you are. There's nothing more beautiful than that. But if I have the thought you're not living your potential, I miss you. Mm. I miss you totally.
I hadn't connected that to being part of unconditional love. I thought I loved Yvette unconditionally. But you're telling me that if I'm thinking about her potential, that limits that.
She's falling short of the daughter of your dreams.
Yeah.
She's not even your daughter. You're loving the daughter of your dreams. Where does that leave this stranger?
Lonely.
Fatherless.
That hurts.
Yeah, it does. The next one?
She graduated from college last year, but went downhill so fast.
Turn it around. She graduated from college last year.
And I went downhill so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Be because I wasn't able to deal with it.
Didn't know how, is the way I, when I look back at my life, I didn't know how. I would if I could.
I didn't have a clue. I'd never dealt with this before. It was so foreign
to
me.
Oh, really? If she's addicted to heroin, who? What are you addicted to? Her.
That's true.
And her presidency. Like an addict. Going downhill. So stop that. Give it up. That's what you're asking of her.
I can hardly breathe.
Yeah, you're choking your life off in her name.
This isn't supposed to happen in a family like ours.
Oh, yeah? Is it true? What's the reality of it? Is it happening?
The reality is that it's happened. It's happening.
So that's what's true.
Yes.
How do you react when you think the thought, this is not supposed to happen to a family like mine?
I feel awful. I feel like garbage.
And how do you treat your daughter when you think the thought, this is not supposed to happen in a family like ours, and it's happening? That's the reality of it.
I try to change reality. I fight. Fight. Tooth and nail against reality. I can't.
How do you treat her in that fight? What do you do just to let her know she's not living up to her potential?
Well, everything I do tells her things are not okay. That I'm not accepting things the way they are.
And not accepting her the way she is.
That's right.
That's the same thing.
That's right.
So, read the statement again.
This is not supposed to happen in a family like ours.
Who would you be without that story when your daughter walked into your home?
Without that story, I probably wouldn't be quite as uptight.
You could be right. Who would I be without the story? This is not supposed to happen to a family like ours. Really happy that she stepped into the house.
And sometimes I can just be happy to see Yvette. And then sometimes I slip into these stories about my visions of her future and what...
How you can use her for your happiness.
And how this is... somehow showing that I'm a bad person,
yeah.
Because it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's turn it around.
This could happen to any family.
If it's supposed to, yes.
Are you telling me this was supposed to happen?
How do I know it was supposed to happen? It happened. Argue with the past. You lose. If this were her only path to God, what about that?
That's asking a lot to think about. You're saying, what if this path
were her only path to God?
I have never contemplated that.
That's, well, then God's pretty inept.
Maybe I'm pretty inept. This is a lot. I didn't expect this. I knew something would be. I've been here today, and I could tell that you're unpredictable. I was nervous. Okay. Wow. I hope I can remember all this.
Sweetheart, you don't have to remember it. You'll look at your daughter's face and you'll know where you're off. And you feel it in your heart, even without looking at her face. And you'll know where you're off.
I'll know when I'm off track, because I'll be thinking about the future, for one thing.
Yeah, I say if you want...
Or the past.
Yeah, you'll have her in the future, and that'll be terrifying. So question your thoughts and bring you back to where you really are. You know, man sitting in chair, man walking, man loving his daughter. You know,
you're right.
Well,
I have a feeling I'm not gonna. It's not gonna happen easily or overnight. I think I'm going to have to adjust my thoughts periodically.
Yeah, question them periodically when you're just sure, like she's going to die. Question that. No, she's going to overdose and die, for example.
That's what everybody tells me.
Well, that's their opinion.
Yes.
So she's going
to
overdose.
I'm entitled to my own opinion.
Wow.
Believe it or not, that had not occurred to me until now.
Yes, Angel. What a wonderful wealth of freedom and wisdom that live in you. We're just tapping it. Just tapping into it. That's what these questions do. They just tap into the truth under the fear.
I got plenty of fear.
Yeah. Let's look at the next one.
Yvette should be more open to my advice.
Is that true? He doesn't ask
yes.
much, does he?
Yes, it's true.
President.
Yes, it's true.
So how do you react when you think the thought, she should be more open to my advice, and she's not?
Oof. Arg.
And how do you treat her when you believe that, and she's not open to your advice?
I want to make her open to my advice.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you say and do just to make sure that she knows that she should be open to your advice?
Well, I probably give her some unwelcome advice, for one thing. Probably go ahead and give it to her whether she wants it or not. Sometimes I am able to hold back, but somehow that's not even good enough.
Yeah.
Somehow I've got to... This one is still a puzzle. Because it was so obvious to me a few minutes ago that it was true.
Yeah.
Because I'm her father. Shouldn't a father be able to give a daughter some good advice?
Yes, just don't expect her to hear it.
Uh-huh.
Give all the advice you want. But are you listening? That advice is for you. Turn it around. I
should be more open to her advice. That's major role reversal, to put it mildly. So I should be more open to my daughter, the addict's advice. You see how heavy that is?
Yeah, my daughter was an addict. I've been here. She refers to herself as a recovered alcoholic. The drugs, and I understand this. I've done this work.
Okay.
I had her dead all day long.
You've been there too?
Oh, yeah.
That helps. But, Katie, one of my stories, I'll say that because now I'm starting to question more things. One of my stories is that a heroin addict doesn't know what's good for them, that they need someone else to tell them how to get out because it messes with your mind.
So turn it around. She is your heroine of choice.
Yes.
So turn what you just said around.
Since I am also an addict, my mind is messed up. And I need someone to give me advice. Okay. However, I've been told I hope everybody can get just a glimpse of how hard this is. Oh. Thank you.
Oh, honey.
I've been told that two addicts helping each other are not a good combination.
You could be right.
So, where do I find somebody who's not an addict?
She has some very good advice. We just heard it.
Yes, we did. So you're saying
it touched your heart.
It did.
That's her advice.
Maybe she can think. But how do I tell?
All this advice was just what you've taught her in the first place. And it was all for your welfare.
So, Katie, how can I tell when Yvette is giving me good and needed advice and when she's out of it and in a self-destructive?
Just, is the advice good or not? Does it work for you?
Ah, so I can think too.
Yeah. You do that with everyone in the world, and you turn on the television, they give advice, the radio, it's coming from everywhere, including your daughter. You take what you need, and the rest you don't need.
Why
yet.
Couldn't I figure that out before?
Wasn't time.
Thank you.
You're questioning what you believe now, so who would you be without the things that we're questioning now? It's leaving under it all this wisdom. But as long as I'm attached to, she's not living her potential, for example, as long as I'm attached to that, I don't know what's underneath. Mm. This is my God. This is what I worship. She's not living out her potential. There's no room for God in that concept. It's the I know mind. Mm. She's not living out her potential. She's not living out her potential. For example, these are the things we worship. And we even go to war with our children in that worship. But when we question them, it opens up and it leaves this wisdom that you're tapping into, this freedom that comes with it. To question the mind is to educate herself. It ends our ignorance. So read that one again.
Yvette should be more open to my advice.
So turn it around and experience it again.
I should be more open to her advice. I believe that now.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to take it, but be more open for it. It could change your life. Mm-hmm. And you get to meet this person I say we've never met the people we love the most. We only meet our story of who we think they are. Mm-hmm. And we wonder why we feel estranged from them sometimes. There's another turnaround. I should be open.
To my own advice.
All the advice you're giving her, take it.
Yes.
She should not use heroin. You're someone who shouldn't use heroin. That's your path.
Shall we go on?
Yes, honey.
She should be more concerned about finding out what is right than about claiming her right to live her life her own way.
Turn it around.
I should be more concerned about finding out what is right than about controlling her life. We both should be...
Drop it.
Okay. I maybe I am also exerting my right to live the way I want to.
That's a radical thought.
It sure is. Ooh.
Good one, huh? That is depth. Because you're doing to her what you've been doing to yourself. Mm. The way you treat her and talk to her is the way you self-talk to yourself.
She should forgive herself and other people, including me.
Turned around.
I should forgive myself for whatever role I have in this mess.
Yes, honey.
And I should forgive others, including Yvette, including my shrink. I have some pretty negative feelings toward him. Whoa. Try to go on.
Yes.
I need Yvette to be liberated from her drug addiction.
Is that true? It's a very deep question.
Oh my goodness. Can I think about that for just a minute?
Yes, honey. All the time you need. I love that you would all give yourself what he's... And he's not messing around here. He just really wants to know. It's like a showdown with yourself.
I want her to be liberated. It would be a good thing. Do I need it? Do I need it to exist? That's the story I've been telling myself. Yes. Yes, that's the story. I need her to be liberated for me to continue existing. If she doesn't get liberated, I will somehow self-destruct.
Yeah.
That's my belief.
If something happened to her, you would self-destruct. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
Nearly. There's only a tiny, tiny little part of me that can even think of believing otherwise.
Yeah. That tiny little piece.
Because I love you so much. You're still my little girl. How can I live without my little girl? Can I just let that sit for a little while?
Yes, honey.
I need for us to be able to talk about important things without either one getting upset or running away.
Is that true?
Well, I believed it when I wrote it.
You've traveled a lot of miles since then.
Do I need that? I want it. Do I need it? Do I have to? I guess what the real question is that essential to my existence? What would it mean for me to give up that requirement? For me to be, it's almost as if I cannot be worthwhile unless we can talk about important things. When Yvette and I talk and she says, no, I'm finished, or it's we can't talk about that anymore, part of me dies.
And then you go to the refrigerator, or you go to the computer, and you turn on the radio, or you watch the evening news. And if she answered you and had this deep discussion, afterward, you would go to the refrigerator, turn on the evening news, go to your computer.
I think what this is getting at is that ability to have these deep discussions, and like I do with colleagues, with other professors, where we just go right down to the mat.
You need that from her.
I do need that from her.
Is that true? Does she always give that to you?
No.
So there's your answer. You need it? Is it true?
Maybe it's not as essential as I thought. This is really scary. Well, this one.
So let's just stay there a moment.
Okay.
How do you live your life when you believe that you need a deep discussion with your daughter to be okay?
Neurotically, obsessively.
And how do you treat her and you when you believe that and she's gone? She walks away, it's over for her.
I see us both as losers.
And how does that feel?
Icky.
So give me a peaceful reason to believe this lie.
I didn't think you'd want me to give this one up.
Well, that was you. You know, if it's painful, intelligence says, I don't need it. And that's what happens. An intelligence beyond what you can claim takes over when you question what you believe you believe.
I'm starting to question that this is essential. Maybe we could just be together.
Maybe you could just be the way you are. You want to have a deep discussion? She says yes or no, she joins it or not, and you go on with your life. Who would you be in your daughter's presence if you didn't believe that when you wanted a deep discussion?
I would be less demanding. I would be less insistent. I would be less disappointed.
And calling a colleague that could give you that.
Okay.
So let's turn that one around.
I don't really need to be able to have these deep discussions with Yvette.
So would you address her with that one?
Yvette, I, at this moment...
That's fair.
I'm considering the possibility that I don't really need that, those deep discussions.
From you.
From you, between, with us. This...
So do it in those words, Yvette.
Yvette?
I don't
really need for us to be able to talk about important things when I want to.
And isn't it interesting that the things that you deem important? Important things, in my opinion, Yvette.
Yes. Being a father is rather influential on your thoughts.
Yes, it is.
That was hard. They're all hard, but that was really hard.
Yeah.
This was so much a part of my life.
Yes. Yes.
The next one's a little easier. Yvette is beautiful.
So, sweetheart, turn it around.
Oh, no. I'm not beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Is he beautiful? You know, this one.
Maybe I've got a chance.
So, sweetheart, here's one that is as difficult as some of the others. You are not beautiful. Can you absolutely know that that's true? You know, I have the thought, who are you to judge that?
Well, if you have a very loose definition of beautiful...
Boy, we're a pretty loose crowd then, huh?
Maybe I need to let go of a few.
You know, I am beautiful.
Oh, yes.
That's my reality.
Yes.
And I don't expect the world to realize that yet.
Well, you are beautiful from the audience, and you're even more beautiful from up close.
So you're talking about the physical?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm not talking about the light in your eyes.
But you know, the physical is also beautiful in all of us, and it takes a deeper... You go deep for that one, because it is physical, and you relate it to a you. But it can be done. And when I say I don't expect people to realize my beauty, You know, I'm very serious. Until we question what we believe, we sooner or later have to just destroy mentally our dearest friends, children. And that's what you've been doing in your mind. Destroying her life in your mind. And there's nothing more painful for a father. And it's innocence. How do you react when you think the thought you're not beautiful? And that could be on a physical level, on an emotional level, on a spiritual level.
I've been very comfortable with that for a long time, thinking that I'm not beautiful in any way.
Yeah. And how do you live your life because you believe that, in that acceptance?
Well, I've never been here before. Where you're taking me, I've never been. What has it done to me to believe that I'm not beautiful? Maybe that's related to my other addiction to work.
I'll be beautiful in that area. Is that where you went with it?
At least, that's at least one way.
Yeah. Yeah. So compensation.
Well, if this many people think I'm beautiful, maybe I should reconsider.
So give me a peaceful reason to believe that you're not beautiful.
I can't come up with any at the moment. There's too much love in the room.
It's a wonderful thing to realize that it's necessary to have, well, I'll put it here because it's the same, but it's wonderful to realize that there has to be a this, a perfectly this, and there has to be a perfectly that. And we're all equal in that. It makes up the whole. It makes up the whole of the beauty of it. And I'm that. And that's beautiful. Can I do it? Yeah. I'll be a this.
Ah, there's a this and there's a that. They're all beautiful.
They're pieces of the whole. Perfection. That's beautiful. And I'm that peace. And other people don't have to see that they're that peace, but I see that they're that peace and I'm that peace. You're that peace of the whole. So beautiful. You know, I could have broken limbs, I could weigh 800 pounds, and someone's got to be that. It's my job now. The profile could change. But for now, this is my job. There's an expression, God doesn't make junk. And it's wonderful to realize that that's not a possibility. And I think that's what's going on. No mistake. So look at the next one.
She has been hurt by many bad people and does not deserve the pain that she has endured.
So ask her.
Yvette, you have been hurt by many.
That was convincing. Were you convinced?
Bad.
Did you
people.
Experience yourself? You have been hurt. You have been hurt. See the influence? Just noticing. Okay, so read it from the paper. Yvette?
Yvette, you have been hurt by many bad people.
Ask her if that's true.
Is that true?
I've been hurt, that is true.
By many bad people?
By people. I don't believe there are bad people, but by people. by other people.
So turn it around.
Well, so if I turn that around, I have hurt her. She has not hurt me. I've got to think some of these through. Certainly I have hurt her. And she has not hurt me. She has experienced pain.
So her pain hurts you.
Yes.
How is that possible?
I think it's called empathy.
We're going to play. She's in Texas. You're in California. Someone hurts her. Do you feel it? Before someone tells you it happened, do you feel it?
There are occasions when we have felt the pain of our children before they called to tell us what had happened.
Yes. But look at your mind. She's dead all the time. She calls, you're right. No? Okay. So I'm open to that. Now, all the time, she's hurt, and until someone tells you, where's your empathy? You feel her pain. Is it true?
Until someone tells me.
You can feel her pain. Is that true?
When am I consciously feeling her pain? It's more when I'm with her than when we're apart. There's something about being physically close that helps you feel.
Yeah, she does something with her face or her mood, and you project your story onto her.
Yeah.
She's been hurt. She's been... Okay. Here's what I love about separate bodies and personalities. When you hurt, you lose an arm or a leg, or you hurt, I don't feel it because it's not my turn. It's your turn. But if I project a story, a fearful story on how that would feel, I feel the story about, say, your arm, if it were severed. So I look at it, and my mind goes crazy with what that would feel like, what that means, and I feel that, and I say empathy. Or I say, I feel your pain. But I don't. I'm feeling mine. I'm feeling the effects of my story about you.
So you're saying you can't really feel someone else's pain for them. You can only feel...
Your own.
Your own pain.
You feel yours, I feel mine. Hallelujah.
Okay.
It's not my turn until it's my turn. But your pain is not my turn. It's yours. So now I'm freed up to serve you, to think intelligently, to be there, to hold you, to hear you, to love you.
Okay. So what you're saying is, you're not saying it shouldn't bother me or shouldn't
What I'm saying
care.
Is don't bother slowing down.
Yes.
Turn Speed it
into
up.
Positive action rather than paralysis.
Yeah. Don't use all that pain you're feeling in my name to slow you down from helping me.
That makes so much sense.
It's huge energy. You know, you're busy overcoming yourself. Well, please drop it. I'm the one that's hurt. Help me out here.
That's a whole new view of empathy.
It's a true way. You know, and then... It's okay to think that I feel your pain, but that brings me pain, so I had to get honest about it. And I had to stop being selfish with it and just know that you're feeling pain, how can I help? And I noticed that I wasn't wounded here, and I was slowing me down, and I want to get to you quicker.
That pain that people feel, I think it slowed a lot of people down. It sapped, as you say, sapped their energy that they could have been using for constructive.
And we love it.
Help.
I love you. Look, I feel your pain. Wonderful, wonderful me.
So what?
Yeah, so what?
What good does that do?
Right.
Hmm. She's pretty sharp. Okay. Well, I was able to recognize that she's sharp.
That's sharp. I realized it one day, and now you realize it.
Yes.
That's pretty sharp.
I'm thankful that I can. Think these things through. Yes.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to include yourself in it. Like you bring me something, I experience gratitude. And there's inclusion, there's a joining there. And that's what the turnaround gives us, it includes. Okay, the next one.
She has the light of God inside her, but she's trapped in a dangerous world that could kill her. And she doesn't know how to get out.
Turn it around.
I'm trapped in a dangerous way of interacting with her that could contribute to her death.
Sweetheart, don't even go there. Let's just do a straight turnaround. You know, if you're my son and you die, it's my fault. That's crazy. It doesn't even give my son the dignity of knowing, I just respect my children's path and their life. Totally. Totally. Turn it around and see how that, go ahead.
So, I'm also trapped.
No, drop the also.
I am trapped.
See, if she's trapped, that's her business. And we'll get to that in a moment.
I am trapped in a dangerous world.
Yes.
I feel that.
Yes, her world. The world of this imaginary daughter.
And I don't know how to get out of it. But I'm getting some clues.
It's the truth that's setting you free. Mm-hmm. You have these thoughts, you question them, and that truth sets you free.
I hope you don't expect me to be perfect all at once.
Turn it around.
I hope, actually, I don't expect you to be perfect all at once. Yes, and another one? I don't expect myself to be perfect all at once immediately. I may take a little more thought.
Or a little less.
In my case,
who
a
knows?
Little less.
Who knows? A little of both, maybe.
Wow.
Let's read that one again, the way you wrote it, the last one.
The last one is that I am trapped in a dangerous world.
Okay, my daughter is trapped in a dangerous world and can't get out. So ask her.
Yvette, are you trapped in a dangerous world without knowing how to get out?
No, that's not true.
That's her world that you're dictating. You have yours, and she has hers. This is her reality. She does not feel that she's in a dangerous world and can't get out. She has her opinion, and you have yours. We stand over our children and we say, you're in a dangerous world. That's not their reality. Sometimes.
Maybe we need to talk a little bit more. Maybe I need to find out a little bit more about Yvette's
life.
Life, world, reality.
But when you have her dead all the time, or, I mean, you're the last person she's going to want to talk to. You're not someone that can be trusted. You turn it against her. In the name of, I love you. But nonetheless, that's how it works out.
So maybe we both really know how to get out. Maybe we need to give ourselves a little more credit. Is that maybe what you're suggesting?
No, that was you. But sweetheart, I see you working your way out. Yeah. That's what I see.
It's starting.
But that's just my story.
It's starting. What do you think, Yvette? You see any hope?
course.
That's great. That's all I need is hope.
Really?
I guess all these other things I thought I needed aren't.
So you know what hope does?
Important.
Hope makes you feel better now. So that's what hope's for.
I do feel a need to punch some people in the face. People who have told me there's no hope.
Well, you have hope or you don't. So how can people tell you there isn't any hope?
I shouldn't have listened. Well, I should have thought more about it and not taken it so.
Okay, so give the statement to me. Katie, there is no hope.
I don't even want to say it.
Wow.
That's progress.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at the next one.
I don't want to make any more mistakes as a parent.
Yeah. One, two, three. Hopeless. I'm willing.
I'm willing to make additional mistakes as a parent.
I look forward to.
Can anybody else say that?
People who have been in the work really live that kind of life. They look forward to it because, you know, we learn the worst that can happen is a thought that we don't question. And so far, you know, we're really learning that again from you. Other than your story, here she is, loving, beautiful, healthy. But your story, you attach it to her, and then you're blinded to what's true.
I look forward to making additional mistakes as a parent.
Yes, Angel, because you're going to feel that. That feeling lets you know you're off balance and it's time to put your thoughts on paper and question them. And it's lovely to put them on paper because they don't move. And you can just challenge them with these questions. You know, stand with them gently and question them. The work is like this. You're out in the desert and you're terrified of rattlesnakes. And you look down and there's a rattlesnake and you jump back. And your heart's pounding, and you're sweating, and your arms are weak. And then you look again, and you see it's a rope. So now I invite you to stand over that rope for 1,000 years and try to make yourself afraid of that rope. You can't. Uh-huh. You cannot make yourself afraid of that rope again. Well, these thoughts that come bring fear, and our heart races. And we question them, and we come to see that that snake is a rope. That's the power of truth. And once we see that that snake is a rope, we cannot make ourselves afraid of that thought again. That snake is a rope, and there's nothing we can do about it after that. You may feel some residue from it, you know, in like a few feelings. And the next time it comes, you may experience laughter. The same thing that used to terrify you. And the next time it comes, you may not notice. You know, like a good friend that's always there. You know, you just don't, we take them for granted and we're just really close. Well, thoughts are like that. The thoughts that used to be our enemies are just welcome in this house. It's like one friendly group. Just the end of suffering. And when we make friends with those, we stop inflicting it on what we see as the projected, or what you would call our families, our friends. And it leaves us available to serve. It leaves us with gratitude and how can I help? That's what's happening when we're over the fear thing. So why wouldn't we be willing and look forward to every terrifying thought coming in so we could deal with it? There's nothing more exciting than self-realization. And anything that's fearful is a lie. But until we sit with it and question it and turn it around, it doesn't work. because we haven't really realized it. We're just adding, like, that's not true. You have a thought, well, that's not true. That doesn't work because you haven't realized it. You've just told yourself it's not true. So this work is, it's like going halfway. You question what you believe, and then the other half is done for you, and it's miraculous. It's the power of truth. Courageous work.
This is the end of this CD. Please insert the next CD to continue.